Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Yud. This perek continues the survey of the 39 melachot, which began in Perek Chet, and discusses 8 melachot, beginning with the 21st melacha of kosher, tying a knot. Halacha Aleph. HaKosher Kesher Shel Kayama V'hu Ma'ase Uman Chayav Kegon Kesher HaGamalim V'Kesher HaSapanin V'Kishirei Ritzuot Min Al V'Sandal Shekoshrin HaRatzanin B'Shat Asiyatan V'Chein Kol Kayotze Baze Aval HaKosher Kesher Shel Kayama V'Eino Ma'ase Uman Patur V'Kesher She'Eino Shel Kayama V'Eino Ma'ase Uman Mutar L'Koshro L'Chatchila. There are three gradations of knots when it comes to the melacha of kosher, and they depend on two variables. A kesher shel kayama is a knot which is meant to remain tied indefinitely. A kesher uman is a craftsman's knot, which requires special skill and knowledge to make, as opposed to a kesher hediot, a common knot which a non-specialist can easily make. One is only chayav for the malacha of kosher if he ties a knot which is both a kesher shel kayama and a kesher uman. The Rambam brings some examples. A piece of leather is placed through the pierced nose of a camel and tied into a ring. This is tied professionally and is never meant to come out. A rope used to lead the camel would be attached to and detached from this ring. Similarly, a rope tied into a ring at the end of a boat, through which a longer rope could be fastened when the boat docks, is both a kesher shel kayama and a kesher uman. If a knot meets only one of these two criteria, kesher shel kayama or kesher uman, then one is patur for tying it, but this is still forbidden midrabanan. The Rambam brings examples in Halacha Bet, in the more common direction of a kesher shel kayama, which isn't a kesher uman. If the rope attached to a bucket snaps, or a strap of a shoe tears, and someone ties one of these with a standard, non-professional knot, this is a kesher shel kayama, because it is meant to remain indefinitely. Finally, if a knot does not meet either of these two criteria, then it is mutar to tie on Shabbat. This is true even for a knot which is not meant to remain tied indefinitely, but may in practice do so. The Rambam brings several examples in Halacha Gimel, and we'll read the first few. Kosheret isha maftichei ha-chaluk af al pi sheyesh lo shnei ptachim, v'chutei svacha af al pi shehu rafui, u'ritzuot min al v'sandal shekoshrin otan al ha-regel b'shat malbush, v'nodot yayin v'shemen v'af al pi sheyesh lo shtei oznaim, u'kdeira shel basar af al pi sheyichola lohotzi ha-basar v'lo tatir ha-kesher. A woman may tie the knots at the end of her shirt, even though there are two of these, meaning even though she may only untie one to take the shirt off and leave the other tied for a long time, we nonetheless consider both to be kesher she'eino shel kayama. She may tie the knot which tightens a kerchief on her hair, and one may tie the laces on his shoe, even though in both cases it is possible to remove the item from the body without untying the knot, and so the knot may remain tied indefinitely. The Rambam continues with several more examples in this vein. We note that the tripartite division, given here by the Rambam, and appearing originally in the Rif, is accepted by the Shulchan Aruch, but other Rishonim have a different approach. According to Rashi and the Rosh, and the Ramah, who accepts their view of the Halacha, one is chayiv for a kesher shel kayama even if it isn't a kesher uman. If the knot isn't meant to remain tied indefinitely, but is meant to hold for a significant period, then one is patur, but this is still forbidden. And it is mutter to tie a knot meant to hold only for a short time. What is the dividing line between a short time, which is permitted, and a significant period, which is forbidden? The Ramah quotes two opinions. The stricter one permits only tying a knot which one intends to untie within 24 hours. And the more lenient one allows tying a knot which will last up to a week. The Ramah is also machmir for the opinion of the Rambam that one may not tie any kesher uman. And furthermore, because we cannot be sure what qualifies as a kesher uman, he rules that one may not tie any double knot, nor even a single knot using the end of a string, known as an overhand knot. This is how, for example, a bag of garbage is often tied closed at its end. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam permits making a knot with any material which animals eat, as this type of knot is inherently unable to last long. However, the Bir Halacha points out that other Rishonim and the Ramah do not accept this blanket leniency to make any knot with such material. Halacha Hey. Ha'aniva muteret, lefi she'ena mitchalefet bikshira,
לפיכך, החבל שנפסק, מקבץ שני קצותיו וחורך עליו משיכה ועונב עניבה.
One may tie an עניבה, a slip knot, as this is undone very easily and is not considered a real kesher. The word aniva in modern Hebrew refers to a necktie, and the standard way of tying one, in which the entire knot comes apart when the thin end of the tie is pulled out, is indeed permitted on Shabbat. The Ramah permits even an aniva al gabei kesher, which is the standard way shoelaces are tied, a slip knot above a single knot. But later poskim, including the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah, conclude that one may tie such knot only if he intends to untie it within 24 hours. According to most poskim, the gartel of a Sefer Torah may be tied with an aniva al gabei kesher, even if it will not be untied again that day. Halacha vav. Mutar likshor kesher she'eino shel kayama lidvar mitzvah, kigon sheikshor limdod shiur mishurei Torah. Nimat kinor shenifseka, koshrin ota bamikdash, aval lo bamedina. Velo yikshor nima lechatchila afilu bamikdash. For the purpose of a mitzvah, Chazal permitted the normally rabbinically forbidden act of tying a kesher uman, which isn't a kesher shel kayama. This includes tying a knot needed in order to measure a halachic shir, for example, the volume of a mikvah, as well as a knot in a musical string instrument used in the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, if the knot is shel kayama, and therefore subject to the Torah melacha of kosher, then this may not be tied even in the mikdash or for any other mitzvah. Halacha zayin. Kol kesher shechayvin al kishro, kach chayvin al hetero. V'chol kesher shakosher oto patur, kach hamatir oto patur. V'chol kesher shemutar lekoshro, kach mutar lehatiro. The 22nd melacha is matir, untying. The tripartite division of knots from halacha aleph applies just as much to matir as to kosher. Any knot for which one is chayav for tying, he is also chayav for untying. Any knot for which one is patur for tying, he is also patur for untying. And any knot which it is permitted to tie, it is permitted to untie. We note that the Rambam believes one is chayav for matir even if the purpose of his untying is not to tie a new knot, unlike, as we'll see later in this perek, the malachot of Korea and Soter. Other Rishonim, including the Rosh, believe that only matir amanat likshor is chayav, but the Bir Halacha accepts the more stringent opinion of the Rambam. Halacha chet. Hapotel chavalim min hahutzin umin hachelef o michutei tzemer o michutei pishtan o chutei se'ar v'chayotze behem hareza toledet kosher v'chayav v'shiuro kdei shiamod hachevel b'ftilato b'lo kshira shenimtzeit melachto mitkayemet v'chein hamafrid et haptil hareza toledet matir v'chayav v'hu shlo yitkaven lekalkel bilvad v'shiuro kishiur hapotel. Winding strings together in a manner which will last is a tolda of kosher, and unwinding strings which are wound together in such a way is a tolda of matir. Even though this winding does not involve making any knot, the act nonetheless resembles kosher because it combines strings together into a unit. This is very similar to the Rambam's psak in the last parak, that pressing threads into a mass of felt is a tolda of toveh, spinning, because it achieves the same result of combining individual fibers into one unit, even though this isn't done in the usual manner of spinning thread. Halacha tet. Hatofer shtei tfirot chayav, v'hu shekasha rashe achut mikan u'mikan, kedei shetamod hatfira v'lo tishamet. Aval im tafar yater al shtei tfirot, af api shelo kashar, chayav, sharim mitkayemet hatfira. V'amoteach chut shel tfira b'shabbat, chayav, mipnei shu mitzorchei hatfira. The 23rd malacha is tofer, sewing. Not to be confused with oreg, weaving a piece of fabric from individual threads, the 19th malacha, which we learned in the last parak, tofer involves attaching two pre-existing pieces to each other. One is chayav for sewing in a manner which will stay and not come apart, which the Rambam clarifies to be two stitches, when the ends of the string are tied on both ends, or more than two stitches even without tying the ends of the string. One is chayav even for tightening a stitch which was made before Shabbat, because tightening is mitzorchei hatfira, a critical stage in the process of sewing. This example joins at least two others we saw in the last parak, in the context of bishul and kibbutz, in which one is chayav for performing an important stage of a malacha, even when this doesn't achieve the purpose of the malacha itself.
Halacha Yud. HaKorea kadei litpor shtei tfirot amanat litpor shtei tfirot chayav. Aval HaKorea lehafsada patur mipnei shu mekalkel. HaKorea b'chamato o al met shu chayav likro alav chayav mipnei shu miyashev edato b'davar ze v'yanuach yitzro. V'huil b'chamato shochechet b'davar ze harei hu kimtaken v'chayav v'apotech beit hatzavar b'shabat chayav. The 24th malacha is korea, tearing. Tearing in general is a destructive act, and so one is chayav only if he tears in a constructive context. The first example the Rambam brings is one who tears the length of at least 2 stitches in order to sew the tear up again. The second example, reminiscent of a similar halacha regarding chovel, which we saw in Perek Chet, is tearing in anger in order to calm himself, or tearing clothing to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya upon the passing of a close relative. The final example is potech beit tzavar, tearing an opening in a piece of clothing for the head to fit through. Halacha Yud Aleph ends the discussion of Topher and Korea with more examples. Hamedabek niarot o orot bekolan shel sofrim v'chayutzebo, harei ze toled etofer v'chayav. V'chein hamefarek niarot divukin o orot divukin v'lo nitkaven lekalkel bilvad, harei ze toled et korea. While the av malacha of tofer involves actual sewing, it is a tolda of tofer to attach pieces of paper or parchment together using glue or some other adhesive. Similarly, detaching these items in a manner which isn't destructive is a tolda of korea. There is an extensive discussion in the halachic literature about the application of tofer to different types of adhesives, like glue, scotch tape, staples, stickers, safety pins, and push pins. Buttons are not considered tofer because their manner of use, derech tashmisho, is to be constantly opened and closed again, and Velcro may be used on Shabbat for the same reason. Halacha Yud Bet, habone kol shehu chayav, hamashve pnei akarka babayit, kegon shehishpil tel o milei gai, harei ze bone v'chayav. Echad natan et ha'even, v'echad natan et ha'tit, hanotein et ha'tit chayav. The 25th malacha is bone, building. This refers to building a structure like a home, and one is chayav even for just adding a part. In Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam brings examples of making a hole in a chicken coop to let in light, or attaching a door to a well or a cistern. Even one who makes a very small improvement, like leveling the dirt floor of a home, is chayav for this malacha. Recall from Perek Chet that the same activity of leveling the ground, performed outdoors, is a form of choresh. Adding a piece of stone to a structure without cementing it in place is not bone. In Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam lists several toldot of this malacha. One is making an ohel kavua, a tent which is meant to stand for a long time. Another is putting together a kli, like an oven, a barrel, or an axe. We note that there is a discussion in the Gemara whether the malacha of bone applies to kelim or only to grounded structures. Here, the Rambam applies bone to the creation of a kli, even though later, in Perek Kaf Bet, he rules that one may reassemble a chair or table which broke apart because ein binyan bekelim. This leads the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah here to explain that the Rambam accepts the distinction also made by Tosfot between making a kli from scratch, which is a form of bone, and reassembling one which broke into its component parts, which is not. One more tolda of bone appears in Halacha Yud Gimel, which the Rambam mentioned earlier in Perek Zayin when discussing the abstract definition of tolda. This is making cheese, as this involves attaching many small pieces into a larger unit and therefore resembles building. Halacha Tetvav. Hasoter kol shehu chayav, v'hu sheyistor al menat livnot, aval im satar derech hashchata patur. Hasoter ohel kavua o sheperek eitz takua, harei ze toledet soter v'chayav, v'hu sheyitkaven letaken. The 26th malacha is soter, demolishing. Like korea, this is generally a destructive act, and so in order to be chayav, one must do it with the constructive purpose of rebuilding. Just as making an ohel kavua and attaching pieces of wood to each other are toldot of bone, so too is taking these apart a tolda of soter, one performed with the constructive intent of improving these items. Halacha Tet Zayin, hamakeh b'fatish hakaya achat chayav, v'chol haoseh davar shu gemar melacha, harei ze toledet makeh b'fatish v'chayav. The 27th melacha is makeh bepatish, striking with a hammer as the final stage of creating a utensil. This is the av melacha, and its toldot include any act which is the culmination of a process of melacha through which an object is created or significantly improved. In the rest of this halacha and halacha yodchet, the Rambam brings several examples: blowing a glass kli, making an opening either in a kli or in a building to allow something to go through it in either direction, smoothing a stone or adjusting its position in the foundation of a building, and removing from a piece of clothing any pieces of straw or wood which bother him. This malacha is applied by modern poskim in a wide variety of contexts, including seemingly minor activities like tightening the screw in one's eyeglasses and separating pages of a book which were left partially attached. One should be very careful to investigate before performing any action which improves an object in a manner which isn't part of its normal use if this action may be a form of makeh bepatish. There is a very interesting case in Halacha Yud Zayin. Hamafis shchin b'shabbat kedei laharchiv pi hamakah kederech sharofin osim shehein mitkavnin b'rfua laharchiv pi hamakah harei ze chayav mishum makeh bepatish shezohi melechet harofei. One who pierces open a blister on Shabbat in order to widen the opening, as doctors do in order to heal a blister, is chayav for an act of makeh bepatish. But opening the blister just to remove the pus which has collected inside it is not an act of makeh bepatish, and is in fact entirely permitted. The Magen Mishnah raises a difficulty with the Rambam's psak. The difference between the two cases, the first chayav and the second mutar, is only a difference of purpose or intent on the part of the person opening the blister. As such, if the first case constitutes a genuine malacha, then the second case should be malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, for which, according to the Rambam, one is chayav no less than for any other malacha. Indeed, there is even a Gemara which seems to say that the heter of opening the blister to remove the pus only holds according to Rabbi Shimon, who believes malacha she'ena tzricha legufa patur. So how can the Rambam agree with this heter? The Magen Mishnah's answer has far-reaching conceptual ramifications. Note that the Ravid here, like Rashi on the Gemara, thinks that the malacha involved in creating an opening on a blister is bone, not makeh bepatish. If this were the case, says the Magen Mishnah, then the question against the Rambam would be a strong one. When building is done even in a eina tzricha legufa manner, like here to remove the pus rather than for the sake of the opening itself, then this should be chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda, and hence according to the Rambam as well. But because the Rambam believes that the malacha involved is makeh bepatish, this malacha does not apply at all when the blister is opened only in order to remove the pus, as this does not constitute gemar malacha at all, and hence cannot be a form of makeh bepatish. Only when the opening is made in order to heal the blister is it considered gemar malacha and thus a form of makeh bepatish. The chiddush of the Magen Mishnah is that sometimes the reason for which one performs a malacha can be part of the definition of the malacha itself and not only relevant for the question of whether the malacha is tzrich legufa or not. We'll see this idea come up again at the end of this perek and also later in perek Yud Bet. Halacha Yud Tet. Hatzad davar shederech mino latsudoto chayav, kegon chayav ve'ofot ve'dagim, v'hushi atsudotan l'makom she'no mechusar tzeda. From here until the end of the perek, the Rambam discusses the 28th malacha of tzad, trapping. This is the first in the series of malachot necessary for writing a book on parchment. He mentions at the outset two conditions which are necessary to be chayav for this malacha. 1. The animal must be of the type which is generally hunted and trapped in order to use, like deer, birds, and fish. This excludes, as the Rambam specifies in Halacha Chafdalid, animals like wasps and mosquitoes. One is patur for trapping the latter type of animal, but it is still forbidden midrabanan, and therefore one may not trap flies or bees on Shabbat. The second condition is that the action must trap the animal in a place where it can be easily taken, meaning, as clarified in Halacha Chaf, that the person can apprehend the animal in a single attempt to hold on to it. The Rambam brings examples in the continuation of this halacha. If one traps a deer in his home or garden, he is chayav. But if he traps the deer in a large banquet hall, he is patur, as he has no way to actually apprehend the deer without some additional act of trapping. He is similarly patur if he traps a bird in a house or a fish in a small pond, as in both cases the animal still has a large degree of freedom of movement. In Halacha Chaf Dalet, the Rambam adds a third condition for the chiyuv of tzad. Prior to the act of tzeda, the animal must be in the wild, not a domesticated animal like a goose or chicken which is already inside one's property. One is patur for trapping a domesticated animal, but it is still forbidden. The Rama accepts the view of the Rambam, but adds that if the animal rebelled and tried to escape, then one is chaya for trapping it, even though it is domesticated. The Shulchan Aruch is lenient on both counts. In general, it is entirely permitted to trap a domesticated animal, and if it rebels, then trapping it is asur midrabanan. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Echad shmona shratzim hamurin batorah, ve'echad sha'ar shkatzim urmasim sheyesh l'minan tzida. Hatzad echad mikulan, ben l'tzorech ben shlo l'tzorech, ela l'sachek ben, chayav, ho'il v'tkaven latzud v'tzad, shamalacha shinat shrichal gufa, chayav alea. Hatzad et hayashen v'et hasuma, chayav. One is chayav even if he traps an animal just for fun, or in order to pet the animal, rather than to kill it and use parts of it as is typically done. This is considered a malacha shenei tzricha legufa, and therefore, consistent with the Rambam's general opinion about this type of malacha, one is chayav for performing it. The Rambam singles out the eight shratzim, which appeared also in Perek Chet in the context of Chovel, drawing blood, a tolda of dash, and which are distinguished from other shratzim by the fact that they have a more significant layer of skin. For the Rambam, there is no difference between these eight and any other shratzim when it comes to tzad. But for those who rule melacha sheinat shrichal gufa patur, the chiyuv for tzad when trapping a sheretz is limited to these eight, as they have usable hides, and so we assume that the trapping was done for the sake of the hide. Even if an animal is sleeping, or if it is blind, one is chayav for trapping it. However, in Halacha Chaf Dalet, the Rambam adds that one is patur if he traps an animal which is sick, lame, very old, or very young. As usually indicated by the term patur, this trapping is still asur midrabanan. Halacha Chaf Bet. Hamashaleach klavim kidei shiatsudu tzvayim va'arnavim v'chayotze behen, uvarach hatzvi mipnei hakelev v'yahu rodef achar hatzvi, o sha'amad befanav v'yivhilo, ad shi'igia hakelev utfaso, harei ze toled etzad v'chayav, v'chein haose kaderech hazo ba'ofot. If one hunts deer, rabbits, or birds with the help of a dog, and he himself stands where he blocks the path of the animal so that the dog can more easily catch it, he is chayav. This is considered a tolda of tzad. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah add that releasing a dog to trap an animal with no further participation on the person's part is asur as a rabbinic form of this malacha. Halacha Chaf Gimel includes some cases of two people doing the malacha of tzad together, and we'll summarize it. If a deer walks on its own into a house, and one locks the door, he is chayav. If two people lock the door together, they are patur, based on the exemption of Shnaim Shasa'ua from Perek Aleph, unless the door requires two people to lock it, in which case both are chayav. If there is no door, and one person blocks the doorway with his body to prevent the deer from leaving the house, then he is chayav only if his body completely blocks the doorway. If it doesn't, and someone else stands next to him to block it completely, then only the second is chayav. If the first blocked it completely and is therefore chayav, and then a second person came and stood in front of him, after which the first person left, leaving only the second blocking the doorway, the second is still not chayav, as when he arrived, the doorway was already blocked, and so his standing there added nothing. Halacha Chaf Hei. Rimasim hamazikin, kigon nechashim v'akrabim, nechayotzei behen, Avapi sheinan mimitin, ho'il v'noshchin, mutar latsurotan b'shabbat, v'hu sheitkaven linatzel minashichatan, keitzad hu oseh, kofeh kli alehen, o makif alehen, o koshran, kidei shelo yaziku. It is permitted to trap an animal which bites people, like a snake or a scorpion, even if the bite isn't lethal. The Magen Mishnah back in Halacha Yud Zayin about piercing a blister raises the same issue about this halacha as he raised about that one. Isn't this just malacha shein tzricha lagufa, trapping for a different purpose than usual, for which, according to the Rambam, one should be chayav? He suggests that maybe this can be construed as pikuach nefesh, despite the fact that the bite of the snake or scorpion typically isn't life-threatening. The Sefer HaBatim, quoted in the Magen Mishnah, thinks the answer is similar to what we saw regarding the case of the blister. Sometimes kavana is a critical component in defining the essential malacha, and since the trapping here was done only to escape harm, it is simply not considered an act of trapping at all. We conclude the perek with a case which we alluded to in our makeup shiur on Prakim Aleph through Zion. The Rama rules that one may close a big drawer in which there are flies, even though the flies end up trapped inside the drawer, but he may not close a small drawer in the same situation. The act of closing the drawer, though it is done with no intent to trap the flies, is clearly a psik reshe, as the flies will inevitably end up trapped. The difference between a small drawer and a large one is that the flies are not fully trapped in the large one, and further trapping is required in order to catch and remove them, while they are completely trapped in the small drawer. However, note that the entire application of tzeda to flies is rabbinic, as flies are not typically trapped in order to use them. The Mishnah Berurah proves from here that according to the Rama, one may not do a psik reshe even when the malacha done as a result is midrabanan, but he may do a psik reshe when the malacha is doubly drabanan, that is, it doesn't qualify for a chiv d'oraita on two counts. In this case, the two counts are that the animal is a fly, a species which is not normally trapped, and that the drawer is big and therefore doesn't completely trap the fly. In contrast, the Mishnah Berurah infers from a psak of the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere in Hilchot Shabbat that he, the Shulchan Aruch, allows one to perform an act of psik reshe whenever the melacha involved is midrabanan, even on only one count.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.